The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
He knows that you need these things. He said, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Fasting is not about getting God what you want Him to do, but rather fasting is getting God to do what He wants to do. You and I are beloved children of God. God's favor is cast upon us by the role that we fill as children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm 41 says, David was writing, and he says, I know that you're pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. King David had God's favor. King David had God on his side, holding his enemies back. He experienced God's favor. Your testimonies reflect His favor. The things that I heard you say and I heard Pastor Morris say over more than anything else was just God favored us, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Friends, it's not about religion. It's not about getting your card punched on Sunday morning saying, oh, I was in church. It's not about your tithes and offerings. It's not even about your service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's all about Him. And it's all about His place in your life. This morning I want to spend a little time looking at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 has always been a very special place in the Scriptures for me. This is the Scripture that Jesus, when He came back to Nazareth at the very beginning of His ministry, He went into the synagogues and they handed Him the scrolls, and He opened the scrolls to Isaiah 61 and He began to read. And this is what Jesus read at the beginning of His ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus went on in that place in Luke chapter 4. After having read this, He closed the scrolls and He handed it back to the attendant in the synagogue. And then He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus' life then unfolded from that point on to see what it was like. He began to teach us. He began to live an example of who we should be and how we should live our lives, how we should relate to each other. Jesus went on to die for our sins, as we experienced this morning. We remembered that in the communion time. And then He rose from the dead. All of this was the fulfillment of the Scriptures. As Jesus was anointed, friends, so we are anointed. As children of God, as those that Jesus said, you're going to do all the stuff that I've done and even more, which includes receiving that anointing to do the things that Jesus did. We're anointed to preach. We're anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. We're anointed to proclaim freedom to the captives and release to the captives. We're anointed for this not because we're special, not because you have taken 14 Bible courses or have some paper hanging on your wall. You're anointed for this because you're a child of the King. You're anointed for this because Jesus was our example. Jesus set the pace. Jesus showed us what to do. And we're fulfilling that. How have you been preaching? How have you been preaching during this time? Well, St. Francis of Assisi said, you must preach the gospel at all times. You know the rest of it? And if necessary, use words. Just by virtue of who you are as a child of the King, just by virtue of the look of peace and calm on your face, just by virtue of the gentleness of your hands, just by virtue of the generosity that you show without even thinking of it, preach the gospel at all times. You are anointed to do this, to live a life that speaks of the gospel. How are you anointed for binding up the wounds? How are you anointed for binding up the wounds? Matthew 25 says that I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to see me. That's how we free the captives. That's how we bind up the wounds. By meeting people where they are. By getting outside the walls of the church. This is fun when we come together. It's a celebration. I love to hug your neck. Dennis, I love to sing with you, bud. I like to jump up and down. I like to raise my hands. But that's what we're not called only to do that. We're called to go outside of these walls. And I know you've been doing that. I know you've been traveling to the city. To be able to minister to people that don't have. I know the work of this church and I know the heart of this church is to care for those who need to be cared for, to bind up the wounds so that they can heal and people can return to a normal life. Jesus was anointed for that, and that anointing comes to us today. How have you proclaimed freedom and release to the captives? How have you done that? John 8, verses 31 and 32 says, if you hold to my teachings and you're my disciples, then you will know the truth. And what will the truth do, my friends? The truth will set you free. Freedom to the captives. Freedom to those who abound in their sin. Freedom from those who just don't know which way to go and what to do next. Amen. Teach them the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth of the salvation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tell them of His love, Summer. You felt that you know it. You've been anointed for that. You've all been anointed to free the captives by simply telling them the truth. Those were the three things. Those were the three things that Jesus said in the beginning of His ministry. To preach by your actions as well as your words. To bind up the wounds and hurting people wherever they are and whatever they're doing and proclaim freedom. To proclaim that we might be free to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. More than anything else during this time of fasting, I've experienced the Lord's favor. I heard your testimonies. You have experienced the Lord's favor. I would like to stand before you and say, well, I had this vision, or I had this great thing happen where everybody goes, wow, this guy must be a holy guy. Man, I wish God would do something like that for me. But what I have experienced is God's favor. I just felt like God loved me. I just felt like He cared for me, like He knew my name. And He was doing stuff. Let me tell you a story. This happened about 3 weeks ago. Right in the middle of the fast, when I was doing just like all of you, lusting after a Burger King Whopper, fries, yum, and a malted milk. In the middle of all of that, when I was having my struggles as you were having your struggles, I was told this story by a lady who helps us. My dad is 93 years old, living at home with Mom, and Brookhaven, Mississippi. They're doing well enough. They don't need to be in a nursing home. They stay at home, but they need somebody in the house. So we have people who come and stay with them all the time. All of my life, I've known my dad to be a good man. Went to work every day, worked hard, provided for his family, saved his money, did the best he could to drum the lessons of life into my brother and I. Sometimes it was here, sometimes it was... But my dad was a good man. He saw the needs of people, and when somebody was hurting, my dad would be there to help take care of the needs of people. They've been living in Brookhaven for about 25, 30 years, goes to church on Sunday, to a Methodist church, but it's a Bible-believing Methodist church. They preach the gospel. I know he's heard the gospel. Dad and Mom did Meals on Wheels for people. They'd get out two or three times a week in their car and drive and bring food to infirmed people at home. Takes people to the doctor, the old people. I called Daddy one time. He's 93 years old now. I called him one time. He's about 88. Dad, what are you doing? I'm over in Europe. What are you doing? He said, oh, I don't know, just taking care of the old people. He didn't know. Nobody told him he was old, and so you know how that goes. Anyway, my dad prays before meals. He and Mom were given an award one year, which is a funny story too, by the church, for being the outstanding layman in their age group, because they were helping every time you turn around. There they are, putting ice in glasses or taking out the trash or visiting the sick. Good people. But I've never heard my daddy give a testimony. I've never heard my daddy say to me, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Oh, he prays before meals. Daddy never really prayed with me. Just really private. And you know, I see all the stuff I see, but I didn't hear what I wanted to hear. One of the workers, I went up there to visit Dad one day during the week, and one of the workers called and she says, Bobby, can I come by and visit with you for a minute? I said, sure. Oh, my. You know, this is when the boss gets called on the carpet. You know, it can't be good. And she said, let me tell you something. She said, Saturday night, she said, your dad and I were going through the house. You got to follow Dad around because he's a fall risk. So he had his walker and he was going through the house, and all of a sudden he stopped and he stood up straight and he pushed his walker out, and she wasn't quite sure what was going on. He says he grabbed onto a piece of furniture and he knelt down right there on the floor and he started to pray. And he said, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. He said, I sinned and I'm sorry. He said, I need you. He said, Lord, I'm tired. You've given me a good life and I'm ready to come home whenever you're ready to have me. Amen. Stood up. Picked up his walker, continued on to the bathroom, if I can tell you the whole story the way it happened. That didn't happen for Daddy. Daddy already had his business straight with God. I keep saying my daddy's boat's taking on water. Every time I see him, he's riding a little lower in the water. You know what I mean? But I wanted to know. I just wanted to know. And the worker, the lady who was there, the sitter, said, I just thought you'd like to know what happened. That happened in the middle of the fast. That is not going to make the headlines on the Times-Picayune or the Slidell News. It won't even be recorded in the church annals. But it made a difference to me. That's God's favor. That's God showing his favor upon us so that we can go on from here with confidence. We can go on in our lives knowing that Jesus is control of everything that's out there. I wasn't even clever enough to ask God to do that. God, could you please confirm to me? I just trusted God would do it. But he went the extra mile. He went the extra mile to say, Bob, you need to know. It's okay. I've heard your prayers. It's not a day that goes by for years and years and years that we don't pray for the folks and our kids and a lot of other stuff. And God answered that prayer. He showed me his favor. These scriptures in Isaiah 61 talk about this kind of living, living a life of expectation, living a life of investing in other people. We can go on from here. Let's see, I'm over here. Beginning in verse 2, it says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to comfort all who mourn. You're anointed for that. To provide for those who grieve in Zion. Listen, verse 3. To provide for those who grieve in Zion. To bestow upon them, you bestow upon grieving people, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. You provide the oil of gladness instead of mourning. You bring a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And when you do these things, the crown of beauty, the oil of gladness, the garment of praise, then they will be called oaks of righteousness. They will become oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord as a display of His splendor. Friends, we're called to be the encourager. We're called to be the one, but by your hands and by your mouth and by your eyes and by your actions, we're to encourage those that they may become oaks of righteousness. Have you ever witnessed to anybody and see them go on in Christ? Have you? That's a question. Let's not make it rhetorical. Has anybody ever witnessed to somebody and been absolutely amazed what God has done with them? Yes? Yes? Barbara, tell me about one. Can you tell me about one? We'll put you on the spot. Just... Yeah.
And finally, you know, we talk. And one day we stopped and talked, and he had lost his wife. He was like 83, and he was just totally grieving. And I led him to the Lord right there on the boulevard.
Praise God.
And I asked my pastor to go and visit him. And he was impressed, you know, that someone had cared enough to do that right there on the street. And he got into church and received fellowship.
And it became an oak of righteousness. One other story? Thank you, Barbara. One other one that you can say in 30 seconds? Amen. That's a challenge often, isn't it? By the way, how's he doing now, Denise? Never mind. Let's go on to forgiveness. Hey, this is God's favor. God gives us the favor, and He gives us the opportunity, and just in little things like that. And then we turn around and said, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done, this display to the glory of God. Amen? That's what that verse 3 talks to us about. Verse 4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I read that and I don't think so much about building. Mike, I don't think we all have to go in the building business to restore all these houses. But you know what I think we are? Restoring lives. Restoring lives that are broken, these ruins that we come upon, people who are despair and depressed and have their lives totally twisted and messed up, that you and I will be a part. We have the anointing to rebuild those walls and to make something special out of them. But even beyond that, I like this last part. They will renew the cities that have been devastated for generations, generational curses. That we pass on the crud of our lives to the children, and they grow up just like us. And it's been going on that way for generations and generations and generations. And friend, it's time for us to break that generational curse. It may be in your family, it may be in your neighbor's family, but it's time for us to say, it stops here. It stops with me. Maybe that fasting that we've talked about and says how hard it was, maybe that fasting needs to be from other things. Maybe there are other generational curses, curses of anger, curses of bitterness, curses of depression. Amen. That need to be broken and said, it's going to stop here. It ain't going no further. Because I believe that God gives us the anointing and the power to be able to make it work. And it's up to you and to me because we have the anointing to do it. Rebuilding those lives, breaking the generational curses, God gave Denise and I the privilege of going to live in Albania for 10 years. You've heard all the stories. I won't bore you with them one more time, but I'll tell you this. It was our job to break the generational curses because we talked to generations of people who says, I understand there might be a God out there somewhere, but not sure. What can you tell me? The generation after generation, no tradition passed on, no love of God passed on, and we were given the extreme privilege to be able to go there and to share the love of Christ. It can happen in Albania. It can happen in your family. It can happen next door. It's up to us. It's what we need to be doing. And it says in verses 5 and 6, aliens will shepherd your flocks and foreigners will work your fields in the vineyard. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and boast, and in their riches you will boast. This is just talking about God's favor. He's going to take care of you. He's going to help you. At different levels, we're all not going to be millionaires. We're all not going to be Bill Gates. We're all not going to have money stacked up to the ceiling, necessarily. Some of us might, and it's okay. But He will take care of your needs. It may not be all of your wants, but to tell you for sure, He's going to work the needs out. We lived in Albania where we were in really desperate straits. And you know what? We didn't lack anything. We were joyously blessed. If you take an inventory, there probably was a lot of stuff that wasn't on the list that we thought might ought to be there and you might think ought to be there. But you know what? It was a total blessing the whole time. It was God's favor. Let's try on verse 7. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. Instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. I know who Bob is. You think you know who Bob is, but there's some parts of Bob you ain't gonna find out about, because I ain't gonna tell you. And parts of me that I'm not proud of. Before Christ, I could have been marked as a scoundrel. And you know what? You kind of might have been too. All of us have those things in our life that we're not proud of. If we are what we ought to be, most of us would have to be ashamed. But He says He's going to give you a double portion. And I call it a double portion of His grace. For there is no condemnation. If there's condemnation, you let it come in. God don't have a problem with it. And if God don't have a problem with it, I don't have a problem with it. You guys love me and accept me. You make me feel comfortable when I'm here. You make me feel like at home. If you knew who I was, you probably wouldn't. But it's the grace of God, who I was 30 years ago. Yeah. My pep squad up here. I'm sorry I said that, dear. You married a very nice guy. Don't tell her, okay? Just keep this between us. Listen, if everything was equal, we'd be shame. But God says, I'm going to give you double portion. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to rejoice in your inheritance, a double portion and everlasting joy. My life is not any more perfect than yours. I got stuff I'm fretting about and worrying about, trying to figure out how to pay taxes and everything else that needs to happen. But I tell you what, I have joy. I have joy. I can walk in here with a smile on my face, and I can stand tall, and I can tell you that God is good and that He's going to love us and care for us. Whether there's a storm coming on the horizon, if the saints win or lose tonight, it maketh no difference. My joy is solid. By the way, I have no fear. You think I'm going on, but I'll be done before the game, so you'll be all right. I just want you to know that you're okay in God's eyes. That He loves you and He cares for you, and His word says you're going to get a double portion of what you need. Okay? We can pass that confidence on. We can pass that joy on to those that we run into. Just the smile on you. Why in the world are you happy when there's so much going wrong? Say, because I have the joy of the Lord. in my life. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people. They are a people the Lord has blessed. Regular folks are going to make a tremendous difference in God's kingdom. Last weekend I was in California. I went to a funeral of a missionary colleague whose family I knew very well over the years. If you look for a title, the guy whose funeral I went to, if you look to a title, was a retired deacon. Now that's good, okay? He was recognized. He worked for many years in the church as a deacon. He was also known as the cookie man, because whenever new people came to town, he would take them a bag of cookies. He was also known by Uncle Vern of all the kids in the church, because he'd harass the kids when they come in. What are you doing? Give him a hard time. And the kids loved him. They just loved him. They just try to go do something just to get him to pick at him. A regular guy. 300 people were at the memorial service that I attended. The whole church was full, and they had an overflow room with TVs in it so you could see the remainder of the service. The district superintendent of Northern California had a seminar, and he couldn't come because he was a keynote speaker, but his wife came and gave the most beautiful eulogy for this retired deacon. The Assemblies of God missions programs, the World Mission Program, sent a representative to read letters from the high officials in the missions program for the retired deacon. Was God's favor. He didn't worry. Vernon Stump didn't worry. His name was Stump. Great name. Vernon Stump didn't worry a lot about what people thought about him. He came to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't worry about, well, if I'm going to do that job, what title are you going to give me so folks will know that I'm doing me a good job? He just got up and did it. He started the cookie ministry. And they had a time of testimony in the 300 people who were there, and they passed the mic around just like we did with our testimonies today. And in doing so, people kept saying, well, I've come to this church for the last 18 years because Vernon brought me cookies. Or after church on Sunday, we always go down to the Jack in the Box. That was his place of ministry. When they got finished at the church, he'd take them down to Jack in the Box or McDonald's or whatever the equivalent would be here to eat some very wonderful, greasy food and drink some very stale coffee. But you know what? The fellowship was great every time you went. Vernon Stump received favor in God's kingdom. Not because he had a title, not because he had anything going for him. He never received a penny, as far as I know, for anything that he ever did from any church, except maybe to get reimbursed on some expenses along the way. Vernon Stump shall be known among the nations. Hundreds of missionaries have slept in his home. Thousands of missionaries' lives are better because Vernon Stump was there to help him with itineration, to help him get services and meet people. Vernon Stump was there for all of them. Chapter verse 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. If you see anything, if we see anything in each other, it ought to be that robe of righteousness that he put on our shoulder. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. I think he's talking about us. I think he's talking about us that as we are planted, as we go into the dirt, as we go down and begin to let those roots go down in the soil and the richness of God. When that bloom comes up, when that beautiful flower, when your amaryllis blooms, when your Christmas cactus blooms, when your azaleas and your camellias bloom, then we'll be showing before the nations the righteousness of God. It's what He clothes us in. Well, where do we go from here, friends? What's next? I'd like to submit to you that what's next is experiencing the joy and the favor of God. Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I'd like to say that we're going to experience God's favor because He has helped us to get our feet on this path. I believe that God will allow us to see and to experience things spiritually that we thought were way beyond us. That those who've been quiet will become prophets. Amen. And those who are not outgoing people would become outgoing people for His sake. That doesn't necessarily mean standing on a corner passing out tracts, although it could mean that. But it means living our life in a way that's going to make a difference. Take the favor that you have. Take the anointing that I believe that it sits upon us now. And let's take that into this year. I would encourage you to continue fasting. It could become a way of life for us. I want it to be. You know, I don't want us to quit. I'm afraid to eat a hamburger. It may mess up the whole thing. Although I don't think we serve a legalistic God. Take what you need, do what your body needs, but keep your heart submitted to Him. And I believe all these things will come to pass. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you take these, that all the things that have happened this morning, remembrance of who you are and what you've done, the voicing of the testimonies of what we've seen in your life in these last days, as well as the words of Jesus spoke at the synagogue in Nazareth those years ago, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Let it give us the grace and the means to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.